Apparently, there was an overweight nun who dearly loved her food. She was cautioned by the mother superior on the subject of gluttony. Remember, she was told, the Bible says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we should respect our bodies and show restraint. For a while, the lesson apparently went home, and it was noticed that the nun ate much less than before. But then, alas, it became obvious at mealtimes that she was back to her former ways. Again, she was on the carpet for a reprimand. You seem to be forgetting what I said about being temples of the Holy Spirit, sister, said Mother Superior. With a beatific smile, the nun replied, Well, it was while I was praying the other day, Mother, that I seemed to hear a voice that said, Sister, you are not a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a basilica. That's pretty good. This nun was apparently convinced that the Holy Spirit had spoken to her. So what is that all about? Today is Pentecost, the festival in the church when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit into the lives of the students of Jesus. And why does the Holy Spirit come? Because Jesus is going to be leaving the planet, and his disciples are going to be needing some extraordinary help if they're going to be continuing on Jesus' message and work. Our scripture today, taken from excerpts from chapters 15 and 16 from the Gospel of John, are known by scholars as Jesus' farewell discourse. And it's rather long, that's why George read just little excerpts from it. And it is called that because it is simply Jesus' goodbye speech to the students. Because Jesus has become profoundly aware that his time on the earth is coming to a close. He can sense that the political powers all around him are conspiring against him. And so the teacher is trying to prepare his students for what is to come, his departure and return to the eternal realm, to the one who sent him from the beginning. He tells his followers that in a little while, they will no longer be able to see him, but then in a little while, after that, they will see him again. And his disciples say, Huh? What? What are you talking about? Now, we don't know if Jesus is referring to his death. In a little while, I'm going to die. And in a little while, there's going to be a resurrection. Or if the little while in a little while is referring to his death and his coming again to the earth for the what is come known as the second coming. Or if Jesus is referring to his death and his reunion with them in their death, it's not clear. All we can be sure of is that Jesus is telling his followers that in his absence, they will not be left alone. In fact, Jesus assures them and us that you and I are never truly alone. That even in the absence of what feels like the absence of the holy, or what feels like we are all alone, and especially in those times of aloneness, Jesus promises to ask the source of all life to send us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that our bodies actually house the Spirit of the living God within. Have you ever felt alone, abandoned? There are no doubt probably times in your life when you have felt alone, whether you've experienced the loss of a partner or someone near and dear to you, and perhaps it's the first time now that you are living on your own. Or perhaps there have been times in your life when you felt alone because you have felt misunderstood by someone or a community. Or perhaps you have found yourself living life alone and feeling a little bewildered about what now? What's next for me? Or perhaps, like Jesus, you are anticipating your own completion of life. Because of age, and you're beginning to think of your own mortality and what's next, and what should I do to help my family prepare? Worried because you're afraid they might be feeling alone or abandoned. No matter what the circumstance, I think all of us can relate to this farewell scene in which Jesus is seeking to offer his disciples, who have become very close, dearest friends and family, the assurance of his love remains with them. This story reminds me very much of going to visit Daryl and Jill Craig as Daryl prepares to say goodbye to Jill and his family. What message can he leave them? What encouragement can he offer as he prepares to return home to God? This passage in John is a poignant passage because the bonds of love between Jesus and his students is so strong, and there's going to be a disruption in their close connection and a deep sense of loss, especially for the students that Jesus will be leaving behind to return to the one who sent him into the world. But Jesus assures them that he is not abandoning them and that he will pray to God and ask for God to send them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what exactly is this Spirit of God? According to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Hebrew scripture, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, the Ruach, has been with us from the beginning of the universe. It brooded over the waters. But millions of years after the beginning of earth time, Jesus promised his disciples, who were confused and bereft over the thought that Jesus would be returning to God, that he would not be abandoning them and leaving them without a teacher and guide, but that Jesus would ask the Creator to send a powerful infusion of the Holy Spirit into the world, and that this Spirit would dwell with anyone who would ask for this gift and be led into truth. This powerful infusion of the Holy Spirit at the festival of Pentecost, approximately 50 days after Jesus' death in Jerusalem, began an extraordinary movement in which people from all over that part of the world were gathered in Jerusalem, and suddenly they were able to understand each other, no matter what language or differences or divisions separated them. And this movement began simply known as the Way. And Jesus taught his disciples that this infusion of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus called the Spirit of Truth, would guide the followers of Jesus and bring to mind all that he had taught them. Now, in our contemporary translations of the Bible, some refer to the coming of the Holy Spirit as an advocate, which in Latin means advocating on our behalf or giving voice towards truth. An advocate is one who speaks the truth on our behalf. Others translate the Holy Spirit as the counselor, who is like a guide or advisor in our lives. Others translate this word paraclete as comforter, which means the one who gives us strength, while other translations simply refer to the Holy Spirit as the helper, the one who gives us assistance. Put together, all of these translations provide insight as to the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is a profound presence that gives us insight, understanding, guidance, strength, and help. And because the Hebrew word ruach, which can be translated as wind, breath, or spirit in Hebrew, is feminine, and it's also feminine in Aramaic, which was Jesus' native language, the Holy Spirit becomes the feminine energy in the Trinity, giving a balance to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The oneness of masculine and feminine energy coming together, becoming one. In our Bible study this week, we talked about our experiences of the Holy Spirit. That feeling of the presence of God in our lives, especially in those difficult times when we feel alone or we're searching for an answer. And people said, well, suddenly it's like out of nowhere, an answer comes that I've been praying for, maybe months earlier. Or I have an aha moment when suddenly things start fitting together. Or someone I've been thinking about suddenly calls and asks who I am. One person shared that someone she knew, had just come into her mind, this person, and she thought, I'm going to pick up the phone and call. And she found out that that person was just contemplating taking their own life. There was a nudge for a call. Or sometimes the presence of the Holy Spirit is suddenly a deep intuitive knowing about what we need to do, and it will just come to us. We all had difficulty putting into words that experience, but we all knew what that felt like. That sudden deep knowing that infuses our being when we sense that inexplicable presence of an unseen guidance. Jesus called it the advocate, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the spirit of truth that dwells within. It is the still small voice of knowing that we are encouraged to listen to for guidance. As Jesus reminds his disciples, sometimes even himself as a teacher can become a distraction, and we forget to listen to our own inner wisdom. But Jesus reminds his disciples, it doesn't matter if I'm here or not. The spirit of truth that dwells within each of our hearts will guide you. You don't need me to guide you. The guidance is within. The Holy Spirit is like a good counselor who draws out the answers from their clients instead of doing the work for them. Jesus is encouraging them and us to look within to find our own voice, our own truth, our own inner guidance, and a holy strength beyond our own. This Holy Spirit has been guiding Jesus throughout his journey, and he is reminding his followers and friends that the Holy Spirit is also available to them in exactly the same way. One of my professors, professor of theology, David Dempsey at Emmanuel, he taught us that the role of the Holy Spirit is to be the connecting force of love between God and Jesus and between all of us. That the Holy Spirit is the great connector, enabling us to be connected one to another. That none of us are separate from our God source any more than Jesus was separate. A classmate in seminary was telling us about his sense of call to ministry, and Tim shared with us that the one day he suddenly had a vision of a beautiful, radiant, shining web connecting all of creation. He said it was like glimmering threads connecting a matrix, connecting all of creation one to another. And he felt the love of the entire universe. And he was so full of joy that he thought his heart would burst. Tim had a profound experience of the Holy Spirit communicating to him about an alternate reality in which he was to understand that all things are interconnected. None of us is separate from the other. That all may be one is our United Church motto. Jesus reminds his disciples that when we love one another as he loves, we will know a joy that is full and complete. When we love as completely and extravagantly and as non-judgmentally and freely and graciously as Jesus loved, then we will know joy. If we want to experience joy in our lives, then Jesus invites us to love as he loved. As the preacher at Prince Harry and Meghan's wedding told them, when love is the way we treat each other, like family, we must discover love, the redemptive power of love, and when we do that, we will make this old world a new world. Jesus reminds us it is in our caring and love for others that our joy will be complete. Just as the Creator has loved me, so have I loved you. Live out of that love, practice that love, and my joy will be in you and will be full. When we love others as graciously, we will know that joy, and the Holy Spirit will give us the strength and knowing and guidance we need to accomplish how to love as God loves. To understand this profound message of Jesus to his disciples about the profound love and connection between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the love, the harmonious love of the holy eternal community, I'd like to show you a clip from the movie The Shack. I know there's a lot of controversy over this movie. Liberals don't like it for some reason. Conservatives don't like it for others. But I think it shows us about the harmonious relationship in the eternal realm. It's a story of a man named Mac who is deeply troubled by grief over his little daughter, Missy, who has been tragically kidnapped and murdered. And he feels responsible for her having gone missing. He feels that though as a father, he should have been there to protect her. And he cannot move past his feelings of grief and guilt and unforgiveness toward her murderer. And all of these emotions are destroying his life and his family. So 2 years after Missy's death, Mackenzie receives an invitation in his mailbox from an anonymous someone inviting him to come to the very shack where he knows his little girl was abducted. He assumes it is her murderer who has tauntingly invited him there, and he brings a gun ready to confront him. But when Mac arrives at the shack, it is no longer a shack, but a beautiful home in which he meets three people, the Trinity, God the Mother, Father, Jesus the Son, and Sereyu, the Holy Spirit, who have invited him so that he might begin the healing journey for his grief.
Mackenzie Allen Phillips. My. Look at you.
Do I know you?
Not very well, but we can work on that. I've been so looking forward to this. To finally see you face to face. Can I take your coat? And that gun. We wouldn't want anyone to get hurt, now would we? I understand. It's confusing. We all do. We will do this on your terms and time. How about some introductions? I'm Alusia. I have a lot of names, but that's one of my favorites. Or if you want, you can call me what Nan does.
You know Nan?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Are you saying that you're...
I am.
The I am.
I am that I am. Look at that. Already quoting scripture. And you bet my son.
Great to see you, Mac. Your son? Of course.
And, Sarah.
Sarah who?
Sarah. It means a breath of wind.
So, which one of you is...
I am. And you have no idea how much I love you. It's okay, baby. Let it go.
We all collect things we value, don't we? I collect tears.
It's good to meet you guys.
The Spirit of Truth reminds us that heaven is an incredibly harmonious, compassionate community of love and joy, always reaching out to us, inviting each one of us to love, to heal, to forgive, to find joy in the gift of life, no matter how tragic it sometimes appears. Mac is reminded about that which we have all forgotten, that all of us are held in a love so extravagant, so full, so complete, we have no need to feel alone. And when you and I learn to love as God loves, as Jesus loved, our hearts will be healed and become joy-filled no matter what the circumstance. May our community of Knox United Church become like the Trinity, full of compassion, inclusion, joy, and the Holy Spirit. May it be so. Amen.